for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 26th, 1988. Sixth service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the teacher of the evening.
So you got a job in the house of the Lord as doorkeeper, Gus, and for our 6 o'clock prayer meeting. So any of you that can't sleep and wake up, why, 6 o'clock, Gus will be down here for morning prayer meeting. Come and join and pray for the camp meeting and for the ministries and all that. And any prayer request that comes up, why, you be intercessors for it in the morning at the morning prayer meeting. And breakfast is at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is breakfast. And then around 9:15 or somewhere about in there, why, we'll start praising and worshiping the Lord, praying over any prayer requests that there are, praying for the nation, praying for the meetings again and some more. We don't ever quit praying. If you wake up in the night, just lay there and pray. Don't bother somebody else and keep them from sleeping. You just do what the Lord woke you up for, and you just lay there and pray and be an intercessor. If the Lord brings somebody to your mind, that means you're supposed to pray for them. That's why they came to your mind, to pray for them. And the Lord says He's looking for somebody to stand in the hedge, somebody to be an intercessor. And so let's learn to be intercessors. So not only when we learn to be an intercessor, then that's the high calling of the Lord. You know, that's the highest calling there is in the Scriptures, the intercessor. Did you realize, did you know that? It's the highest calling there is to be an intercessor. What does the intercessor receive? Well, we've got a few minutes. Let's have a Bible study. Let me show you. Ezekiel 22, page 784. Verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. That's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? The Lord's looking for intercessors, and He couldn't find any. Then what else does He say? Isaiah 59, page 690. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 9, page 768. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the church to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men, number of man, came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the place of judgment, the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub wherein he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the church, through the midst of Jerusalem the church, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, But come not near any man upon whom, boy, girl, woman, upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Begin at the church. Then they begin at the ancient men which were before the house of the Lord, and he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city, in the church. Who's in the church? Those that are called Christians. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon the church? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. There's a separation. Judah and Israel, not the same. Is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the church full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare. Who says that there's only love, love? There's judgment in God. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense my way upon their heads. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Revelations chapter 7, page 258. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, which had that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Who was he sealing? Those who sighed and cried for the abominations in the household of faith. And what happened to those that were sealed? There was nothing that by any means could harm them. So the highest place in the Scriptures is to the intercessor. They shall be sealed with a seal in their forehead, and when tribulation and trials come, nothing shall by any means harm them. Oh, you'll have trials and tribulations, but Satan will not be able to destroy you, and the destroying angel will pass over you just as he passed over the children of Israel in Egypt when the blood was put on the doorpost. That seal is a seal of the living God, and the destroying angel will not will pass over, and you will be protected in the day of tribulation and when it comes upon the earth. Amen. So, desire to be an intercessor in the household of faith, so that you will be sealed with the seal of the living God, and then you'll not have any fear of the tribulation that is coming upon the earth, that we hear so much about from Daniel and Revelation. But I have no fear of the tribulation. For God says, if I'm an intercessor in behalf of the household of faith, that I'll be sealed with a seal in my forehead, and nothing shall by any means come near to harm or destroy me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that's my Bible study for tonight. Now we'll leave the rest. We'll leave the next Bible study for Brother Cook. Amen. Tommy Cook will come, and you might as well stand. You should have stood with me. You might as well stand because he's going to ask you to. Because he'll... Brother Tommy Cook.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Blessings of the Lord.
Amen. Father, we thank you again tonight for this word.
Hallelujah.
Father, as we listen to the word tonight, I pray that it will bring forth faith into the hearts of your people and cause us to rejoice.
Yes.
And help us to grow in you. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We want to turn again to Kings, 2 Kings 19, where we read a scripture this morning. Let's turn there together. 2 Kings 19. Praise the Lord. How many believe we're in a warfare? If you're not, something's wrong. Now, I'll read it in the King James, and I'll read it again in the Amplified as I did this morning. But we want to share on warfare again tonight. 2 Kings 19, verse 30. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Now the Amplified said, and the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Hallelujah. So there is a surviving remnant tonight in God's kingdom. How many believe that?
Amen.
A remnant is that piece of cloth in the natural we know that not everybody's rushing in to get. And we know that it's odd-shaped. And we know Isaiah talks about the those who would fill in the breach. And God is raising up a remnant in this hour.
Hallelujah.
That's going to mend broken hearts. How many know there are people hurting?
Amen.
And the Lord is going to use this remnant to reach out to those that are hurting. Deliverance, salvation, healing, whatever. But there is a surviving remnant. And to survive means we have overcome. It means we've come through a warfare. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said it's the house of Judah or the house of praise. I'll tell you, praise will get you through things. Praise and worship will take you through. Can you say amen? And it said that they're going to take root down, which means they go down. And as we go down, how many know he's able and will raise us up? Hallelujah. He said if we'll be abased, he said we shall be exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, we shall be abased. And so there's a people going down, and yet there's a people coming up. And it says they bear fruit upward. They are fruitful people. Hallelujah. And he said this remnant is out of Jerusalem. How many know that's the church? And the survivors are going to be out of Zion. Hallelujah. Out of Mount Zion. And by the zeal of the Lord, he will perform this. God is going to do this. Amen? Now, let's look at this just a minute and a couple of scriptures before we go any further. Turn over to Isaiah 4. Look at one scripture here. Let's see this remnant in Isaiah chapter 4 together. Isaiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. I recommend you to get that tape this morning if you wasn't here. Isaiah chapter 4. Notice verse 3. It shall come to pass that he that is left where?
Zion.
In Zion. So there's going to be a Zion people, some Zion people left. Now that is the remnant. That is the living survivors.
The marked ones.
Yes, the marked ones. That's good. And he that remaineth in the church or Jerusalem. So there's some left, there's some remain, shall be called holy. So if we're going to be in this remnant, if we're going to be in those that are left and remain, we're going to be what?
Holy.
Even everyone that is written among the living that's in Jerusalem. Now turn to Zephaniah 3. Look at one more scripture on this remnant people. Zephaniah chapter 3. Look at verse 13. The Lord said, the remnant of Israel shall not do something. Shall not do something. Iniquity. I mean, no, that's lawlessness. I mean, no, that's rebellion and independence. And God said they're not going to do it, which means they have been purged. How many believe God's working on all of us? Every one of us God is working on. Now, he said this remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Hallelujah. So they're going to speak truth. They're going to be purged of iniquity. There is no guile, no deceit in their tongue. Praise the Lord. God has a holy remnant coming forth. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn tonight and see where the battle is. Turn to Psalms 55. I said we're in a warfare. Praise Jesus. Now, I want to tell you seven things about this psalm and this warfare. Number one, let's see where the battle really is. Verse 18 tells us, so Psalm 55. He says in Psalm 55, verse 18, he hath delivered my what? Soul in peace from something. So it's the soul that's in the battle. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. How do you want the mind of Christ tonight? Well, let me tell you, you will be in a battle. Hallelujah. How many have ever felt like you were losing your mind? Well, how many know you got to? And gain his. Are you hearing me? We got to lose our mind and gain his. And so he said the battle is in the soul. Now, that's the first step. Number two, let's see how this battle affects you and I. Look in verse 3. Listen to what he said here. He said the enemy has a voice. How many believe he's got a voice? And notice he said it's the voice of the enemy, not the voice of God. And yet many mistake his voice for the voice of God, Bill.
Right.
Because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me and wrath, they hate me. I want to tell you, the enemy hates you. He hates me. Verse 4, notice how it affects you now. My heart is sore pain within me. The terrors of death are come upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, horror have overwhelmed me. How many's ever been in that place? In your soul. In the battle. Amen? Hallelujah. So, number one, the battle's where? In the mind. How are we going to, how does it affect us? Well, it brings all those things that we read there in verse 3 and 4. Now, look, the next point is, notice, what do we do? Verse 1 and 2. Well, we should be crying out to God. And verse 2, he said, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. And we all do that, don't we? We've all done it. We all do it. We all make a noise. Patty, you're not the only one. We all do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, notice here, praise the Lord, three things we usually desire when we're in the battle. When we're in the battle, in the mind, there's something we want. There's something we desire. Look in verse 6, I believe it is. Verse 6. David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove.
Yes.
Amen. Uh-huh. Boy, I'd fly this mess. For then would I fly away. How many know we sing that song a lot? Some do. And be it what? Be at rest. There's no contentment here. There's no peace. There's no rest. When your soul is in the battle, we want to get out of the situation we're in, don't we? Now, that's number one. We'll fly away. Number two, he said here, he said, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. That means to pause, reflect, and think what's been said. So he said, I'd like to get off by myself, away from the big cities, out in the country, hallelujah, and just remain there. Next verse, verse 8. He said, I'd help God out in verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. But where is the storm? It's in the mind. So when we're in the battle, we want to do three things. We want to wander off. We want to fly away. And we want to escape the storm. Amen? All of us. Hallelujah. And I can put my name at the top of the list, Patty. Hallelujah. Now, because I've wanted to do those things. No contentment. No peace. The flesh wants to escape. The flesh wants to run. It wants to hide. Amen? Now, in this battle of the soul, God wants to do something. He wants to give you and me a revelation of ourselves. Look in verse 9. Listen to what he said. Destroy, O Lord,
and divide their tongues. That's the enemy that comes to your mind. Now notice, for I have seen something, violence and strife in the city. What city? Right here. You're like a city, come on help me, that's set on a hill that cannot be hit. And so now he begins to see strife and violence in the city. Now, look at verse 10. Day and night. 24 hours, isn't it? They go about it. Notice, they go about it. That's your enemy now. Upon the walls thereof, mischief, my Lord says evil, also and sorrow are in the midst of this city. Well, how many of God wants to replace that with joy? Verse 11. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit. My Martin says oppression. And guile depart not from her streets. So he's getting a revelation of himself, isn't he? He's seeing those things within him. Why? Because he's thrust headlong into the battle of the mind with the devil. Amen. Now, what can we do? Verse 16 through and 17. Here's what we must do. As for me.
Yes.
Everybody say, as for me.
As for me.
As for me, I will call upon God,
and the Lord
shall save me. Save me from what? The battle that we're involved, that we're in. But how many know God doesn't always come the next 5 minutes? But He will come. As we meet His conditions. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now notice, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And notice, he's crying aloud. He's not praying just silently. He's crying out to God. His whole being is in this thing. And he's seeking his Lord. Hallelujah. And number 7, the final point, there is deliverance and there is victory. Or the results is victory. Verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Hallelujah. We have an enemy, we have many enemies, but God said here to David, there were many with me. Hallelujah. Yes, this battle is against you and me, but the results, as we cry to God, there is deliverance, there is victory, there is peace, there is overcoming. Hallelujah. As we seek the Lord. Can you say amen? Now turn to Chronicles chapter 5, 1 Chronicles 5. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And we want to look at verse 18. The sons of Reuben, it says here, and the Gadites. How many know Reuben means to behold the sun? How many know when you got saved, you beheld the Son, Jesus? And then it said, the Gadites. The word Gadites means a troop or an army. And God has an army.
Yes, He does.
Hallelujah. And notice, half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword, and to shoot with bow, and skillful in war, were 440,703 that went out to war. And they made war with these different ones here. Verse 20, and they were helped against them. And the Hagaronites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle. He was entreated of them because they did something. They put their trust in Him. They took away their cattle and the camels and so forth. Verse 22, and there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And they dwelt in their stead, that means in their territory, until the captivity, and the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land, and they increased. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, in verse 18 and 19, there was an offensive war, an attack. How many believe God wants us to be offensive? He wants us to be on the attack, hallelujah, against the enemy. Can you say amen? And verse 20, it said, they cried to God in the battle. Hallelujah. Again, they lift up their voice. They cry out to God when they're in the battle. And then it says, he was entreated of them. God heard their cry.
And verse, the next verse here says, notice in verse 20, because they put their trust in Him. So when we're in the battle, we've got to cry out. We've got to put our trust in God. Amen?
Amen.
And they spoil their enemy in verse 21 because they took cattle and so forth. How many believe again that God wants to restore that which the enemy's taken away from us? God wants those things to be restored to us as we come in the battle.
Yes.
And as we get in the battle and as we get in the Spirit, God will hear us.
Hallelujah.
And God will restore us. Can you say amen?
Yes.
In verse 22, it said, many were slain. The enemy is going to be defeated because this war, it said, was of God. And every man, of course, was in their stead or territory. How many know we need to get in our territory? We need to get in the place where God is putting us and placing us. Amen? Hallelujah. And then they spoiled the enemy's goods and everything else that went with it. Praise the Lord. They dwelt in their territory, and then it says there was an increase. I believe God wants to bring an increase in 89. How many want an increase in 89? Spiritually. Spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, whatever. Starts within and comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, get in the battle. Amen, and win the war.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Praise you, Lord. Verse 32. No, that's not it. We was there this morning. Verse 8. Verse 8. Here we see these Gadites again, this troop, this army.
Yes.
Verse 8. And it said, and of the Gadites, there they separated themselves unto David. So first of all came separation, sanctification.
Amen.
And notice they separated themselves unto David. He's a type of Jesus. He was their captain. And how many know Jesus is our captain?
Amen.
Yes. And notice it says also unto the whole, to the wilderness. So they were in the wilderness with David. Now, turn over just a minute. Or turn back to Second Samuel chapter 3. Let's go back there just a minute. How many believe that David was in a warfare? Look at 2 Samuel 3, verse 1. Verse 1. And it said there was something, long war. How many of you felt like you've been in a long war? Between the house of Saul. That's the old order, the old mind, fleshly things. And the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Now, back in 1 Chronicles 12, it said that these Gadites separated themselves unto David. So they're on the winning side, aren't they? I mean, if you get on Jesus' side, you're on the winning side. I'd rather be a winner than a loser, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Notice, they separate themselves unto David into the hold there in the wilderness, men of might, and men of war. And then it said something else. They were fit for the battle. Now, how are you going to be fit for the battle? Number one is to separate yourself to Jesus. You will be tested in the wilderness. But that's where you're going to become men of might and men of war, and that will cause you to be fit for the battle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, what else did he say here? That could handle these men that were men of war, fit for the battle, could handle something. They could handle the weapons of war. Shield and buckler. And notice what it said. Their faces were like the faces of lions. I mean, we need the lion nature tonight in us. And they were swift as roars upon the mountains. They're climbing up high into the heavenlies. Amen. But they were men of war, fit for the battle. Praise the Lord. Now, let me give you another area that we must overcome. And it's very important that we see this. Turn to Nehemiah 9. And I believe it's one of the biggest ones in our lives. The sins of our fathers. How many know that's real? And in Nehemiah 9, it said, verse 2, the seed of Israel
separated themselves from all strangers, all foreigners. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of somebody else. Their fathers. How many has ever done that? How many know we better do it? Next verse. Now look at this next verse. And they stood up in their place. Do we know our place? And read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Long service, wasn't it? Hallelujah. So they confessed their sins and their father's sins, and they worshiped the Lord. How many believe repentance will lead you to worship?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's a lot of deliverance take place as we repent before God. All right, now turn over to Lamentations. Lamentations. Look at another scripture here together. Oh, hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 2. Let's see here. Let's see. Praise God. Well, I lost my verse. Well, I wouldn't come back. Okay, go to chapter 5. No wonder. I wasn't looking at it. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Look at verse 3. They said, we are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. Then if you come down to verse 7, there's a lot in this whole chapter, but look at verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not. Sin destroys, doesn't it? Sin kills. And we have borne their father's iniquities. It has never changed. We still bear our father's iniquities. Amen. We have to deal with curses. We have to deal with those sins of our forefathers. Now, turn back to Numbers 14. We were there this morning, but I want to give you one scripture that I didn't bring up this morning. In verse 31, the Lord said here in Numbers 14, 31, but your little ones that you said would be a prey, them God said, I'm going to bring into the land, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Next verse. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Those who believe the evil report. Now look at verse 33. Notice this verse. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms.
Yes.
Everybody see that? Until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So he said your children will bear your whoredoms. And I haven't looked the word whoredom up. Now turn to Genesis chapter 12. Verse 9. Abraham's going south. How many know it's warm when you get going south? Especially if you've been north. Verse 10. Notice here, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. It came to pass when he's come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarah his wife, behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul, look at this, he's soulish, just like we are at times, shall live because of thee. Now look over in chapter 26. Let's see this thing coming down to Isaac. 26:6. Coming right down to the son. Amen? Verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. The same thing in Abraham came on down to who? To the son, to Isaac. Now, look in 2 Samuel 6.
2 Samuel 6. And look at verse 14. David's bringing the ark back home, and there's a lot in this scripture, but let's look at verse 14. David danced before the Lord with all his might.
Yes.
And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and at the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, how many know there was another man who had a problem with David? That was her father, who hated David, who despised David, who was jealous of David. And so here is the daughter, seeing him dancing before people with all of his might. And you know that scripture doesn't say he danced in the spirit. It says he danced with all of his might. Of course, he did it before the Lord. But yet she despised him in her heart. How many believe we can despise things in our hearts? And you know what happened? She was never called David's wife again. Amen? She was called Saul's daughter, but not David's wife. And secondly, she did not bear any more children. Look up here in verse... What verse is it? Let me find it here. Look at verse 23. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Now, I wrote something in my Bible a long time ago. I'll just read it. And I said, the Lord has reached down and locked up the spiritual womb of many churches. I'd say many people. And they're not bringing forth any children in God's kingdom.
Right.
And one of the reasons is despisement and hate in the heart will cause it to stop. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, so we're dealing with something. We're dealing with the iniquities of the fathers. Now, go back to 1 Kings, or over to 1 Kings, chapter 16. Let's look at this in the Old Testament here again. 1 Kings 16. Praise the Lord. And I want to look at verse 25. 1 Kings 16, 25. It said, but Amri brought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Amri, which he did in his might, that he showed, are not written in the book of Chronicles. Are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Amri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year, king of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Amri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Amri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Amri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So on and on it goes. The iniquities come right down, don't they?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I believe God wants us tonight to recognize and know, brethren, that in your life and my life, we have to confess those sins of our fathers as well as our own. Now, turn to Matthew 24. Let's see what Jesus said here. In Matthew 24, verse 11, I believe it is. Yes, we'll read that. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound or be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, these are people that at one time that have walked in the love of God. But because of iniquity, the iniquities of the fathers and all their own sins have come down to this end time generation, and so they turn from love to hate. How many know it says they shall wax cold? How many know wax, if it melts, it'll be melted by fire and begin to run. But here it said they'll wax cold. There's no heat to them. They're in the deep freeze. How many of your water pipes are freeze in the deep freeze?
Amen.
You get in the north country. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. So God is saying to us that iniquity is going to abound in the end of the age. Now, turn with me to another scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. And look at a scripture here together. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 2. Listen to what God says here to us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. How many know when there's iniquity abounding, you just might as well mark most of your prayers off. Unless you're repenting and before God. Now turn over to another scripture, Ezekiel 21. I want to show you a verse here that will bless us. Look at it. Chapter 21, look at verse 25. 21:25. Notice, and thou profane wicked prince of Israel. Now here's a prince we're dealing with. Whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. How many want to see that prince dealt with in your life? I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 25 of chapter 21. And thou profane wicked prince of Israel. How many know Israel's the church today? Whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end.
Yes.
Thank
God.
How many know when that comes, there's going to be a great move of God in the church. Verse 29, while they see vanity unto thee, notice that, while they see vanity unto thee, while thou divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. So God said He's going to bring an end to iniquity. That's in you, and that's in me. Now turn over with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 41. Matthew 13, verse 41. I'm in Luke. I won't get it. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom. Notice, out of His kingdom. All things that offend, and them that do iniquity. Having to see a purging coming, and cast them into a fire. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. So God's going to purge out of His kingdom those that do iniquity or lawlessness. Psalms 5:5 said, God hates all workers of iniquity.
Yes.
Jesus said, depart from me, all you that work iniquity. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to another scripture here. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 10. I mean, the Bible said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? But blessed are the people that hear that know the sound, the Bible says. The sound of what? The sound of the trumpet, the sound of war, and do something about it. Amen? There's a lot of sounds in the world, but not all of God. Look in Numbers 10, verse 1. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. What's silver type of? Redemption. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, this is the leaders, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. And when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. And when you blow alarm the second time, the camps that shall lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys, and when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound the alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpet. Hallelujah. How many's heard of the trumpet, but how many's heard hearing the alarm sounding? That is war. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Now, verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, these are the feast days now, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets. Praise the Lord. Now, number one, there when the trumpet sounded, there was the assembling of the camp. Now today we're not assembling around Moses, are we? We are to be gathered around somebody. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
The head of the church. The true prophet. The real prophet. Hallelujah. The highest prophet. Hallelujah. The Son of God.
So there was the assembling coming together as the trumpet sounded. Number two, and then secondly, there was the moving of the camp. Now, if we are gathering together, and if we are moving and flowing in the Holy Ghost, how many believe there's going to be some growth?
Right.
And the third thing is that when they come together and they begin to move together, then there was a calling the camp to war, which speaks of a great struggle. How many believe that God puts you together sometime and causes you to grow, but how many know there's a great struggle? You got to rub shoulders with your brother and sister. Amen?
Amen.
And we don't always feel like, do we? Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. How many's got problems in your right arm? Stand to your feet. In your arms. Stand right up where you are. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, minister to our sisters right here. In the name of Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we ask you to take out that condition in the arms. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and speak your healing power over them and to them in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was the assembling, the gathering together, and then there was the moving together, growth. And then, of course, the calling of the camp to war, which speaks of a great struggle. And then the announcing of the feast, which speaks of a great harvest. So I'm going to say it this way. We gather together in order to grow. And when we gather together and begin to grow, we come into a great struggle. But when we come through the great struggle, there's going to be a great harvest. You believe that? But you're not going to come into a great harvest without a great struggle. Amen? Praise God. So we're growing and we must be changing. Glory be to God. Turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. Look in verse... Psalm 78. Look in verse 9. It says here, the children of Ephraim, that means double fruit, being armed. God wants us armed, doesn't he? Carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. How many believe we can turn back into the battle?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. They turn back in the day of battle. Now, look in verse 41. Yea, they turn back and tempted God. You know what one meaning of tempting God is? To ask God for a sign greater than God desires to give you.
Amen.
And they limited the Holy One of Israel. And when we turn back, we grieve God, we limit God. In our lives. Can you say amen? Now look at verse 57. It says also here that they turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. Notice that. Like their fathers. So the fathers had a problem, wasn't it? Unfaithfulness. How many of the sons are having the same problem? Again, we see that thing coming down. But turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers, and they turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger, and so forth. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to turn back tonight. If any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Go to Hebrews 10 just a minute. Blessed be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 10.
Hallelujah.
And look in verse 35. These people had become a gazing stock, the Bible says. That means the object of ridicule. Verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. I see Christians losing confidence. I see Christians being so discouraged or just giving up. That is not what we should do. We all go through those low places, but brethren, it's time to hold on to the Lord and to hold on to each other in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now notice, verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive something. The promise. Hallelujah. How are you going to come into the promise? By faith and by patience. Ha. That's what we said this morning to you, Blanche. And I believe she is. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Verse 37. for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry or delay. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, or by his faith, another scripture says. But if any man do what? Draw back. Remember in Psalm 78, turn back. If any man draw back, my soul, God said, shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back into perdition, the beast system, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we're coming back right where we started, having all the battles in the soul. Amen. But we're not to turn back. Yes, the heat's going to be on. The pressure's going to be on your soul, because God wants it saved. God wants it changed, renewed, and restored. Amen? We're not to turn back in the time of battle. Now, turn over to Joshua 11. Let me show you something that happens when we don't defeat the enemy in our land. I said in our land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. Joshua 11:22. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remain. Now, what was Gaza? That's the place where Samson went into the harlot. How many know he laid in the harlot's lap, and then they put his eyes out? And Gath is the place where the Philistine, the giant, came out against God's people, and finally David slew him. And then there's Ashdod. Now look over at Nehemiah 13 here with this Ashdod scripture. Nehemiah 13. And so if we don't destroy the enemy, he's going to crop up, come up somewhere down the road. The head's going to stick up. Isn't that right? Yeah. Nehemiah 13. And look at verse 23, I believe it is. 13:23. Hallelujah. It says, and in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of who?
Ashdod.
Now, he didn't take care of the enemy in Gath or Gaza or Ashdod. There still remains an enemy. And so here it said, they married wives of Ashdod and of Ammon, that's that ancestral people, and of Moab. Now, look at verse 24. And their children, how many of the children suffered in this thing? And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language.
Right, amen.
I mean, on Revelation, there are those who say we're Jews and are not. There's a lot of people say I'm a Christian but can't speak the Jew language. I'm talking about the born-again experience language. And so, brethren, if we don't deal with the enemy in our land, somewhere down the road, he sticks his head up. Whether in our life or our children's life. Are you hearing me? And we reap what we sow. Now turn over to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11. Just a couple more things here. I'm not going to preach as long as I did this morning. 2 Samuel. Besides, it's pretty warm tonight. But I guess if it was in Africa, it'd be a lot worse. 2 Samuel 11. Verse 1. Now, how many has ever felt you stayed behind from the battle? Let others get into it. Maybe fight your battle for you. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. I don't believe it's the time to relax, do you? I don't believe it's time to get the party spirit. It's time to march into the enemy's camp and take away that which is rightfully ours. In 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, it came to pass after the year was expired. All right, we're coming to a close of a year right now. How many know at the close of this year, there's going to be a lot of parties and a lot of banquetings and eating and all that this next weekend. Isn't that right? And some will never even make it through it. Some will die. Never go. Come on into 89. And so the year was going to be expired. And at that means it's an evening hour. And I believe we've come to the evening hour. Notice when kings go forth to what? To battle. How many believe God's making you a king tonight? A kingdom of priests, I should say. When kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and the servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Rabbah, But David tarried still at Jerusalem. So he stayed behind, and the others went into battle. And it came to pass in the evening tide, see, the evening hour, that David arose from off his bed. Now, I'm sure David was tired in the natural, in the physical. But it's also a type of a passive state, isn't it? It's a type of being at ease. But yet he's a target of the devil, isn't he? Satan is setting him up for a fall. How many believe there's spirit signed against you and me tonight? That wants to set you up for a fall. And so here David rises up off of his bed in the evening tide. And again, we're in the evening hour. Let's don't be foolish virgins. Amen. Let's wake up. And walked upon the roof. Now, there's a lot of things going on the housetop in the scriptures. Isn't that right? That what you hear, you know, you hear preach on the rooftop. Peter got up on the rooftop and he had a vision. But yet here, he walks on the rooftop of the king's house, and from the rooftop he sees a woman washing herself, and she was very beautiful to look at. Well, you know the story. In verse 4, notice he sent messengers, and he took her. So he saw her, and he took her. And how many know he had her husband killed? But listen to what I'm going to say. How many know the Bible says, God said, the sword, David, will never depart from your house. And the very sin that David committed right here came right into his children. Incest, adultery, murder, it all came right into his children. Hallelujah. Just one time, he could have went on into battle, and he had never had to suffer the consequence. But because he stayed behind, and he was at ease in a spiritual sense or a passive state. He was yet a target of the enemy, you see. Leadership coming under an attack. He fell, and that sin came into his children, and his home suffered from it. Amen. Now, one other scripture in closing. Go to Joel. Well, two scriptures in closing. Joel. Two more scriptures, and I'm done. Joel chapter 2. Do you know many, not all, but many men that we have seen fallen through adultery, uncleanness, has been mainly that we've heard of, that we've actually heard in the press, has been charismatics, come on, full gospel, Pentecostal people. And to whom much is given, come on, much is required. And in Joel 2, what did God say? Blow you the trumpet where? In Zion. Sound the alarm where? Holy Mountain. What kind of mountain? It's a holy mountain. Who's going to hear the trumpet? The holy mountain. Isaiah 2 said he's taken us to the mountain, the high mountain. Amen. Into the heavenlies. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord comes, it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness, gloom, clouds, and thick darkness. But it's as the what? Morning upon where? Upon the mountains. Glory to God. Anybody want to get on top of the mountains? You want to go up in God? Then it's going to be morning. A great people, a strong, there's never been the like. Notice verse 3. A fire devours before them, behind them a flame is burning. The land is like the Garden of Eden. Before them and behind them is a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Well, how many know God's leading us back to the tree of life? His name is Jesus. And in that garden, there was the tree of life, there was communion with God, and there was dominion with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God said it's a strong people in verse 5. Verse 8, they're not going to thrust one another through. And verse 11, listen to what God said in verse 11. The Lord shall utter what? His voice before His army. For His camp is very great. He is strong that executes His word. Well, the day of the Lord is very great and terrible. Who can abide it? So God is raising up a strong people. Now, 2 Timothy 2, and I'm done. Last scripture there. 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 3 through 6. And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, very few are soldiers. I know of a man that had a vision. He saw the army in America was over 400,000. That was the army in America. That don't mean that's all that's saved. But those were warriors.
And I believe God has a remnant in America that's warriors.
Yes.
Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of what? This life. He doesn't become involved in the affairs of this world or this life. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for mastery, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits. Hallelujah. And then in verse 12, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Amen? Hallelujah. So he's raising up an army. He's raising up his warriors. And so it's time for you and I to quit running from the battle. To get in the midst of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise him a minute.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Well, right on the left ankle and the leg, somebody's here needs some healing in your foot. Stand up to your feet. The left one. Who is it? One. Okay. Reach your hands out to him. The Lord's giving me a word of knowledge right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the healing virtue go right into their feet. That left foot, that left ankle, that left leg. I just rebuke that condition in their body. I command it to loosen. I command it to go in Jesus' name. By your stripes, they're healed, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's just give the Lord a good praise. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. Let's stand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, raise up your soldiers. Raise up your warriors in this hour. It's not those that talk it, Lord. It's those that walk it. It's those that get in the battle and learn warfare. Lord, those that are weak, Lord, I know that we have to make up the gap sometime and stand in that place for them, Lord. And we do that, Lord. But Lord, I pray tonight in this service, everyone here will become a warrior, will become a soldier. Oh, Lord, help each one of us to show up those times and those areas in our life of prayer and intercession, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord, when we've turned from the battle. Forgive us, Lord, when we've laid the armor down, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when we haven't got in there with others. And, Lord, maintain that battle in the Lord. Forgive us tonight and cleanse us, we ask, Father. And now, Lord, tonight we pray and we confess the sins of our fathers and our iniquities. And we ask you to cleanse us, Lord Jesus, tonight. Every sin of our forefathers and every sin that we've committed, Lord God, known or unknown tonight, we confess it and ask forgiveness. And we break every curse, every hex, every vex, everything that's come against us, Lord, this day. We bind it, break its hold, and loose ourselves from it in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your healing, your deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, this next year, I pray, God, it'll be a mighty year for those that are here in this service, that you shall restore, Lord, those things spiritually and mentally and physically and financially to those here tonight, Lord, that have suffered, Lord, loss. We pray a restoration to come in 1989, Lord God, into the lives of your people. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him another praise. Come on, let's praise him. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for the glory of God. We thank you for restoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want my wife to come a minute. I want us to pray for her tonight. I'm going to ask Blanche and Linda and our sister here to come and Peggy. And I want to pray for her. Let's pray for her tonight. That God will strengthen her body tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Blanche. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray for Wanda tonight. That you would touch her, Lord, in her physical body. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we ask you to minister life to her tonight. Go right through her whole being, Lord. Every nerve, every bone, every part of her being, right into her heart muscle, Lord. Right through her being in the name of Jesus. Bring divine healing and help. Oh, hallelujah. And energy into her, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We cut off and bind. We bind all weakness, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. We come against insomnia in the name of Jesus. It causes her to wake up and not rest well. We break its hold over her in Jesus' name. And we loose her from it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. If anybody gets anything, obey God. Amen. Amen.
Father, we pray for a refreshing.
Yes.
In the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With whole man.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
The Lord's fixing to do something.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Oh, there it is.
Amen.
Oh, there it is. Jesus, hold on to me. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you.
Yes.
Let it flow now. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Father, refresh him, Lord.
Yes.
A rest in your mind.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, Miss Wanda.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those that have been in a battle in your mind, raise your hands. Praise God. I'll raise mine twice. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now, we pray tonight that you'll truly save our souls. Restore our minds. Bring forth deliverance. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we lift our voice up, Lord. And we cry unto you tonight, Lord, that you'll bring healing and deliverance and a restoration and a change within our minds, our emotions, our wills, and our desires. Mighty God, we ask you, and we believe it. We believe that you'll save our souls, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.